Content warning: this episode contains explicit language, violence, and sexual assault. More information and resources can be found in the episode summary.
Hi, and welcome back to Care Spells, a critically queer podcast where we delve into the magic of care work. I am your host, Lux Storms. This episode is the second part of the conversation with Fig. Please refer to the episode 2, part 1, to be all caught up. And without further ado...
As this podcast is Care Spells, I am curious to... what your relationship to magic is, but specifically when you're talking about transformative justice, in what ways like have you witnessed or experienced or integrated magic in those practices? Whether that's, we were just talking about it as an internal process, like this is the first and foremost, it starts within you. TJ is within you. What's the relationship of magic for you in that? But then also, what does that look like collectively or communally?
Yeah, love it. Love. So I think, for me, the way that transformative justice relates to magic is kind of just as simple as like the shit is sacred. The work and labor that we're putting in is sacred. And by that, I guess I just mean like something to, be treated with like respect and taken very seriously. Obviously we still have fun or whatever, but like, but something to be, just like regarded with reverence, I think, because it's... I actually have a perfect example of the like relationship with magic and TJ. So last summer, I was on a road trip with my partner. And while we were on the road trip, I was doing this. I was writing in response to some writing prompts that around transformative justice that Margot Feldman, who is like a transformative justice teacher, practitioner, typing her name here soon. She's a transformative justice teacher, practitioner. Also, I don't know what pronouns Margot uses, so apologies about that. But Margot was doing these prompts and I was answering them and just while we're on the road trip. So I'm gonna read you what I wrote in response to one of those prompts. I have an altar in my heart. It sits inside a giant room. It is made of glass. It casts rainbows in my body when the sun shines through. This is where transformation happens, when you are so close that I can touch you. I cannot hold your hand or offer you support in transformation unless you come to my altar and we stand before it together. I have no desire to make you feel guilt or shame, only a desire to hold what needs to be held. There's space for your pain, your fear, and your shame on my altar. Let us place it there together. Let us see what we can transform. So like, literally in the sense of like, it's fucking like it's alchemy. Like we're literally taking like the pain and the shit that we have fucking just built up inside of our bodies. And we're like putting it through this process of like alchemy and transformation, right? So the reason that I say that too is because, in the beginning I say I have an altar in my heart. It sits inside a giant room. It's made of glass. Okay. So like, then I was like dreaming after I wrote that, I was like, I need a glass altar. Like I definitely just need it. And then we're fucking hiking in like, we're in Idaho or something in the middle of the forest, bro. And there was like a perfectly intact piece of just glass, like not broken, just like a square of glass, like polished on the edges, like I could pick it up, just in the middle of the forest, like in Idaho. And we had just been talking about, like, I was sharing with them that piece that I had just written, and like then we just are walking and I'm like, oh So I like was like, we have to take this with us, like we have to make room with the car. So we like took this piece of glass back, and for like a year after that, it was my altar. Like I had that as my altar. So that was a way in which transformative justice, there was some magic there for sure. I was like, oh, thank you spirit for placing this glass altar in the middle of the woods so that I could find it when I needed a glass altar. So that in terms of like the personal, yeah, I really just like, I don't necessarily have any like practices around transformative justice that I would, you know, that's just an outsider or would like appear to be magical in nature necessarily. I lie because I totally have been like accessing the Akashic records in my practices of like working through my own shit recently, and like consulting with my, like literally consulting with my spirit guides. So like, bros, like how do I handle this? Like I'm super triggered right now. Like please help me see a different perspective so that I can move through it. And so in that way, like my spiritual practice is directly informing for sure the work that I'm doing in terms of transforming like patterns of harm in my own life. So yeah.
Are there any like specific spells you can think of that you have done in relation to TJ?
I like want to say yes so badly because the podcast is called Care Spells.
Honestly, too, it's, I don't view or I have not described spells as something like you have to like write it out. This is like really intentional. This is like what is
okay.
It is not at all, again, rigid in its definition. Yeah, yeah. So
love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, to, I guess it kind of like blends into my question about your songs and you as a songwriter. I've sure. always experienced your songs as like spells. You know, like I feel them.
That's my absolute. My favorite question on the list. And I told like three people, I was like, the question is, I feel like your songs are spells. Do you do that on purpose? Cause you're like, bitch, your songs are spells. The question is not, are they spells? The question is, are you doing it on purpose?
Yeah.
Cause I love that. Do I do that on purpose? Yeah. Do I, you know, no, I don't.
Okay. Well, that being said, like what's your process for writing a song, I guess?
Totally. Yeah. Well, okay. So my process for writing a song is trying really hard and also not trying at all at various intervals. Yeah, but really like that is kind of it because okay, so I'm going to use this song I have as an example. There's a song called Invisible Love. So that I have that Lex likes.
Because
they're raising the roof. Maybe they can. Well, whatever. It doesn't matter.
I'm going to definitely plug in some.
I was like, can you plug a clip? Okay.
Oh, yeah. By the way, their band is Blood Honey. Follow them, mm-hmm. follow them on Instagram. Where else can people find you, Fig?
Yeah. Instagram, Blood Honey Music, which is BLOODHUNNY Music. And then we also have a band camp, which is just Blood Honey, again, HUNNY.bandcamp.com. And we're working on our like 5-song EP right now that should be out by this summer, 2021. So, but Yeah, so the song, like, okay, Invisible Love, I think, is a good example, because so the song Invisible Love is about the experience of having partners that I reference a couple specific situations, but like I would have partners that for whatever reason, like, didn't want to publicly be with me, like, and it was either big way, like, there's big ways in which, like, literally, like, I dated this dude in middle school that was like my friend's ex, so it was like a total secret, you know. We dated for like 3 days or something, not worth it. So it's like that where it's like a total fucking secret, no one can know. And then just like other variations where I like dated this like woke dude at our university who was like, whatever, I just think whatever it was about me that he didn't want his like woke friends to know that we were dating, even though I'm like, dude, they totally know. It just wouldn't act like we were dating in public. So I like, whatever, I have all these experiences of people just like being weird, and not acknowledging and not wanting to openly acknowledge like our relationship or their affection for me or whatever. So this had been like a lifelong thing since like middle school that I'd been experiencing. And so I knew for like, I would say about a year that I was going to write the song Invisible Love. And I was just like, I'm going to write a song about that. Like, I need to write a song about the fact that like, I just feel like erased by partners and like all these different things, right? And so I would try and write it like, and then it would just, I was just like, I hate all of this. Like, and I would just scrap everything, you know, for like 6 months leading up to actually writing it. I get this like feeling inside of me, like a song, like this song is like gonna be here soon. Like, it's like, I'm pregnant with it.
It's so coming.
It's true. Like, I literally will be like, I'm gonna write a song about this sometime within the next probably 6 months. Like, I can feel it coming, and it's like, it's just like around me, but it's not quite here. And then usually a word or a phrase will come to me for some reason, and then it's like fucking boom, like the whole song within like 15 minutes is like written. And so that's why I say like trying really hard and then not trying at all, because it's a lot of putting effort into it, but I can't make it happen, right? Like, it's gonna happen when it wants to happen. So I try really hard, but it never happens when I'm trying. But I think but I have to do the trying still, even though that's not gonna be what makes it happen, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And then I think I just always really emphasize spending time alone and giving myself time to not have other people's words in my brain. So I make sure that like once in a while when I wash the dishes, I'm not listening to a podcast or music. Like, I just try and prioritize always having some time in my day where it's like quiet or there's just not other people's ideas, because I think that's what fucking really can suppress for me creativity, is just other people's ideas in my head, and there's no space for my own things to like sprout. So that's a huge thing for me, is
that's really making sure there's space.
Yeah,
just the idea of that we're all just constantly being inundated with other people's thoughts and feeling,
literally, which is like great, obviously. Like, I'm glad listening to this podcast, whoever you are, right? But like, I think again, like that's a part. Like, it's this balance, right? It's like working a lot and then not at all. So it's like, yes, like, who's your inspiration? Listen to that music, like listen to those podcasts, watch those shows, whatever. Like, that makes you feel good, but like, make sure that you also have time for your own thoughts to manifest. Because that's and being like alone too, you know. So that's my process for songwriting.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you for sharing.
It's not very practically helpful.
I mean, I feel helped.
Great. Ideal. But I wanted to address, like, just to touch back on the like asking if my songs are spells on purpose, mm-hmm. it's like no, but also at this, like, But also, yes, because when I'm writing my songs, most of the time I'm writing about like people being shitty to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or like my processing of that in different ways. Or more recently just kind of other experiences with like family and stuff. But what I'm doing is because you know, when you hear a song, that's literally lyrically, musically, everything. It's just fucking exactly how you're feeling, or exactly like you're like, I know that feeling. Like almost like I could have written this because this is fucking me. Like this is, and it just like the resonance is just like, like, and I think, and I assume that that's kind of what you mean when you say you feel like my songs are spells. Is it because they give you that feeling? Yeah. So, I mean, that is entirely when I've been writing songs since high school. So like whatever, 2007. And I just still remember thinking very specifically, like if one person hears one song that I ever write and says, yeah, like that's how I feel, like my work here is done, that's literally like, that was my intention when I started songwriting, because I just, yeah, I totally think that's like, there's fucking magic in that, as like the ability, because I think it's validating, you know, even if the feeling that you're resonating with is like total shit feeling and you hate to have it, like it makes it easier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like what I always want to do for people. And I want people to not feel alone and crazy because of the way that like shitty abusive people are treating them, because that's how I felt. So I'm like, I can write about this and I can sing about it and I can scream about it. And people will be like, yes, I'm not fucking crazy. And I'm like, yes, you're fucking not. And then we high five. And someone told me recently that they went to a Blood Honey show. Well, they started the story. They were like, a Blood Honey song made me cut off a relationship with a dude, with a toxic dude. And I was like, whoa.
Wow. Like,
first of all, mission accomplished. Second of all, tell me more. And it wasn't necessarily like they heard the words of the song and they were like, I gotta do it. But they just said that they were, the person was just like mansplaining to them while at a Blood Honey show. And they just said like something about the setting, the context, just everything. They were just like, no. Like they just decided in that moment at that show that they were like done dealing with that person. Mm. And for some, and they like attribute part of that to Blood Honey. So in that way, I will say whether or not it's intentional that my songs are definitely spells that are making people break up with their boyfriends.
Yeah, and honestly,
this person wasn't actually a romantic
relationship. Well, I mean, either way, toxic person making yes, moves yeah. for them not to be in your life. Not that people are toxic, yes, but has exactly. toxic things happening that they are responsible yes. for unlearning. Anyways, so mote it be. You are gone, you know?
Enough. I've had enough.
This is done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, totally. No, thank you. So you also facilitate yes. art therapy sessions for folks who are survivors mm-hmm. of sexual assault and intimate partner violence. Can you yeah. tell us more about that?
Yeah, totally. And yeah, that's not something I did like a copious amount of, but mm-hmm. I definitely, yeah, led a handful of support group sessions that had arts-based exercises. And my focus was always not necessarily doing any direct deconstructing of the situation of harm, whatever it was, but like I liked to choose art activities that were just kind of encouraging the participants to like focus on themselves, think about themselves, encourage them to like name their name things they love, name things they don't like, name the relationships they have, because I think intimate partner violence and assault can just leave us so isolated, and gaslighting makes us so unsure of ourselves and our reality, that I think it's even just really powerful to just be like, what do I like to do? And it's like surprising how much people can struggle with that. Like, I know I myself struggled with that a lot after being in an abusive relationship. Like, I reached a point where I was like having this crisis where I was like, I have no interests, which I like did, but it was just like, I was so profoundly like ungrounded and like undermined by this person all the time that I had like no sense of myself. And so for me, just like encouraging people to reestablish a sense of their self through art. And so one activity, for example, was we got like big sheets of butcher paper and I had people stand against it and we traced like an outline of their body. And then they chose with like tempera paint, like a color for all of the things and people in their life that they like love. And so then they painted in their body with those colors. And so it was really interesting because it was like, you know, someone I remember, they like loved coffee. They loved having a cup of coffee in the morning. So like they painted the color in their hands because they're like, yeah, the feeling of like warm coffee in my hands, you know? And so it was interesting too, is like, where do people paint the colors and why and things like that. So honestly, pretty simple stuff, but just not simple, actually, just foundational is what I mean. Like just foundational to sort of like rebuilding our self concepts. So yeah, that's what that looked like.
Okay. I was just curious, like I feel like I know that you are, and I've witnessed like how many different forms of creativity and magical works that you have intentionally or unintentionally kind of like, just like, you're just seeping in all of it, and it just like seeps all over the place wherever you are. And so I guess I just wanted listeners to know yet another project that you have put energy into.
I appreciate that.
Honestly, yeah, has been really helpful. Just like even though like I wasn't in those therapy sessions, I uh-huh. heard about them and I was like, I need to do that. Like, ooh, yeah, like y'all that sounds amazing.
It's great. And like just like collages, like, yeah, I, you know, if anyone's listening that I'm saying, you know, survivors can struggle with, like if those struggles resonate, like, yeah, just I encourage you to just do stuff like that. Like make a fucking magazine collage about things you like. There's one where you can like, oh, we had people do is like kind of like a zine style, just one sheet of paper folded in half, so there's the outside and the inside, and the outside it was like, how do you think you present to the outside world, how do people perceive you, do that on the outside, and then inside when you open it, it's like, what's your like true self beyond what people perceive. So just like pretty basic prompts. Give it a go.
You recently started the polyamorous poetry. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that? And then also I was curious about how as a fellow non-monogamous polyamorous person, I'm curious like what or how can you imagine transformative justice and magic and non-monogamy and polyamory all like kind of like melding and having conversations with one another? What does that look like, feel like for you? Also, you can go in however you want, obviously.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love this question. Yes. So yeah, totally. So, okay. In reference to the poetry, which I've just been calling like pieces of writing, but it could be poetry. there's this wonderful scholar named Dr. Kim Tallbear, and she's an Indigenous Dakota woman, and her blog is The Critical Polyamorist. And so I was listening to the All My Relations podcast, and they were interviewing Dr. Kim Tallbear, also another great podcast. And she mentioned like that she does, Kim mentioned that she does like critical polyamory 100s. And I was like, what is that? I don't know what that is. And but was just curious. So I looked at, and then I found an interview where she was talking about how it was kind of like a writing circle where it was a group of women that each week it was someone's turn to write 100 words on a topic. And they were specifically writing about polyamory. And so like one week it was it'd be your turn to write 100 words. The next week, whoever's turn it was, would write another 100 words. And they would kind of like feed off each other, right? So you would look at the persons before you and be inspired by it or respond to it, whatever, you know, it seemed pretty free form. So I was like, just for some reason, really inspired by that. And so I kind of put out a thing on this Instagram where I was like, well, actually, okay. First I like pumped out like 5 of them, in like a Google Doc, and was like, wow, you can write 100 words really quickly. And it's also really fun to kind of like have that limit where it's like very specific and you have to maybe just find ways to reword things to make it exactly 100 words. So it was just really fun. And then I just put on Instagram, I was like, hey, does anyone want to like exchange these back and forth? And I sent it, I sent one specifically to my friend Greg B at Greg B Poetry on Instagram. And I was like, hey, are you interested in doing this with me? And he was like, yeah, totally. Cause he's a writer. Right. And so, yeah, they and I have been sending them back and forth. And it's just like super cute and fun. And then I have another friend that we're sending these 100 word pieces back and forth. And yeah, it's just been like so adorable and like enriching and really interesting to see the ways, just so directly, like the ways that we can inspire each other. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. So yeah, definitely I'm gonna be putting them up, I think, on my blog. And I'm getting like the other people's consent to maybe post the exchanges so you can see like the whole back and forth, because I think it's just really, it's funny, they get more conversational as time goes on. Like the first two back and forth are kind of like, oh, I write about this, and then you write about this, and then like we start kind of addressing each other more directly. And it's just really sweet. It's just such a, and both of these people that I'm doing it with are like new friends, and I'm like, what a freaking cool way to like get to know somebody. So yeah, that's what that is. the poetry. And then yeah, I guess, yeah, do you have any other questions about that before I blast onward?
And no, I love that, and I'm feeling squishy inside.
Wonder, do you want me to read one?
Yes. Do I?
Okay. Do I ever?
Do I ever?
What's like the, my favorite one? I think this is the one that you liked. Do you like to walk in the forest? Can I come over and play your piano? Do you want to eat apples and peanut butter? Can I play your guitar? Would you teach me to sing your songs? Can I watch you count your meds? Is it okay that I don't have my shit together as much as you first thought? Do you want to sit around in my backyard while I clumsily try to make things grow from dirt? Clumsily try and make something good grow out of shit? What I mean is, do you want to be friends? So that's, yeah, that's one. So they're short and they're to the point and they're sweet. I'm going to read one more that I wrote today. My first memory of you. You were standing on a street corner in Old Town Eureka reciting your poetry. Nobody in particular was stopped and listening at that moment. It was like you just had something to fucking say and you were going to fucking say it. What if we didn't wait until we had a venue and an audience to say what we needed to say? Didn't need to set our truths to melodies to feel like they're worthy of being heard. Let's allow each other to expand infinitely outward from our words, never confine each other to them. yeah, that's like kind of my active creative thing right now, and I'm loving it.
I'm loving it too.
We're all loving it.
We're all loving it.
If you're listening to this, if anyone's listening to this and you like want to do this with me, like, I'm down. Probably. And then the other thing is you're like inviting me to just kind of talk about polyamory and TJ and magic and
literally all of it. I guess my
what ways can it all be?
I was just really curious with like your experience, or the ways that you like practice magic, which we've just connected to transformative justice, and like what that looks like is, you know, we were just talking about how transformative justice starts with us individually and our ways of communicating with one another. That in and of itself is a spell when you are intentionally working towards being better people with ourselves and our communities and the more than human world. That said, when we are practicing non-monogamy or polyamory, what is that relation and that identity, that experience of connecting with people that you care about, that you love, that you're fucking, whatever it may be, to the ways the magic of transformative justice.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally like, I could just like repeat what I said before, because, you know, there are people in this world, I feel like you are one of them, and I am not, that have
what are you going to say?
Compersion, which is like essentially just like kind of like joyful empathy towards your partner when they're like experiencing joy with other partners. Compersion comes naturally to some people. It does not come naturally to me. Like, I get like raging jealousy. Like, I have severe like issues comparing myself to my partners. I get so just, oh my God, like it can be so fucking activating for me. And yet, like, this is what I believe in. Like, this is the way that I want to have relationships, and it's not something I'm going to compromise on with myself because I'm scared. And like, goddamn, like, it is not easy for me, to be totally honest. And it's seriously like, so much internal work goes into not projecting my insecurities and my jealousy that are not my partner's to deal with, just to process. Like, it is not their responsibility to help me not feel jealous, you know? I mean, obviously they can support affirmations, you know, whatever, but like, we cannot be asking our partners to like fix our insecurities for us. The point being that fucking internal work to be a good partner is transformative justice. That work to not project. And that's like, again, why I think it's so important to emphasize that, like, you're kind of the way you're summarizing it and to be like, transformative justice starts with us, is because like, how many people in our like activist communities are like perpetrators of interpersonal violence, and like don't know how to respect boundaries and don't know how to ask for consent? And it's like, yo, like, you can't be out here like saying that you're for these like great causes when you literally like don't know how to be not abusive, like in an interpersonal relationship. Like, that those things are connected, people. And that's like, and I really like that as a focus on like, oh, like transformation in our society, like, yeah, like it starts with us, which is not to say, of course, that like that somehow it's personal responsibility to like upend oppression, you know what I mean? Like, by no means, of course, but a lot of times movements can fall apart because of abusers within them that mm-hmm. are like dividing the community. I mean, and then of course, but of course there's also literally like state infiltration. Yes.
Yeah.
So like, I'm saying like both and like both and it's like, it's our personal work. We have to do it. We have to transform our relationships. Also like we also the state is infiltrating movements, but so.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
so like, clear that.
Yeah, I remember taking this class about surveillance in the state, and it was with Dr. Renee Bird. Shout out. Also, if anyone is able to, people should check out Earthseed Labs. It is Dr. Renee Bird's incredible project, and that's all I'm gonna say about.
Dude, I didn't know
for
that.
Now. Yeah. But anyways, they had this course a few years ago that I took, and it was a lot of the coursework was talking about. Yes, there's the state, the systemic state that it can exist outside of ourselves. But also, like, let's fucking define the state, because the state is actually living internally, like within us as well, because we're socialized in so many ways to surveil one another. And so, ooh. Yeah, they just really interrogated what's another word for interrogated, or asked us to really question where look and how and what the state is, because oftentimes we're just like, yeah, like fuck the state, but it's just like, yeah, fuck the state, and also that's living within us, so like what kind of action, like what kind of work and labor mm-hmm. are you gonna do on the daily, minute to minute, to unlearn the violence that like systemically the state is perpetuating constantly within and outside of us.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That said, are there any projects you're working on right now or in the future? What are you excited about?
Yeah. Well, yes, like I said, I'm working on my band's five-song EP that should be coming out in May 2021. Again, that band is Blood Honey. And the EP is going to be called Post Teen. And yeah, so look out for that. That's what I'm actively working on. Again, the 100 words piece of writing. And then that's what I'm really actively working on, you know, and then kind of like I was saying, what I'm currently like dreaming about and doing and trying to do my homework on before I move forward is, like I said, those kind of facilitating the sort of like skill building spaces, specifically starting with like how to give a good apology with Mia Mingus. There's been so much like conflict and rupture in the community spaces that I'm in, with to varying degrees of like harm that's happening in various ways, and I'm just like, I don't even know where to fucking start. And so the only thing I can think of is like, cool, like we need to figure out how to talk to each other, like, because, you know, and like we need to learn what boundaries are, people. Like, they're just, I sometimes I'm still shocked, like just hearing the way that people, you know, don't respect consent and boundaries that I've been seeing at protests for years, and I'm just like, I don't get how you don't get it. That's wild to me. So yes, that is what is sort of in the works in my dream space. And that's what I'm working on. I didn't realize
that your title was that. And
post-teen?
Yeah, post-teen, because one of my closeout questions was if you were able to tell your 13-year-old self something about magic, what would it be?
Yeah. 13, what was I doing when I was 13?
I would love to have met you at 13.
Bruh, I don't even know. Okay, what grade was I in when I was 13? Probably like, wait. I was in middle, I would have been in middle school probably, right?
Oh yeah, very beginning of middle school. I think, like 13, I'm thinking like right before or like in the midst of like being like, oh shit, like everyone's looking at me. I just heard the song Laffy Taffy for the first time and I love it, but I have no idea what's going on.
Perfect summary. Also, I just like looked up at the skylight above me and the moon is just like there. I'm like, hi. Aww. Okay, honestly, I would have been like, okay, first of all, I am able to tell my 13-year-old self something about magic because like they're for sure still here. So what I will tell my 13-year-old self about magic, well, first of all, like, I just want to say, dude, like, that you are a hyper little thing and you have so much energy and like capacity for creative expression, and the people are like, first of all, one of the things is like you are doing a lot of attention seeking, and that's fine, like you need attention, like totally, like you're feeling like lost and alone and you need that, and but like that energy that you have that you're putting into that is like so potent, and like just draw, like start playing guitar now, you're gonna start playing guitar in like 2 years, like start now. But like just people just can't really handle your energy all the time, and that's okay, they don't have to, like we can use this in like good ways and in potent ways and magical ways. I don't know if that's so directly about magic, but that's just what I want to tell my 13-year-old self, because they're like just about to start listening to My Chemical Romance and things are about to take a turn. Things are about to take a serious turn in their life.
I had to like mute myself for your entire explanation because I was just cracking up so hard. Like I'm resonating.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, are you talking okay, to good. Me?
I'm just like
right
I'm
now.
Like, amazing. Amazing. I love that we share this experience. Yeah.
Well, like, big.
Yeah.
Do you have any also, other?
Can I say one thing?
Yes.
I want people to know this about Lex, is that like Lex and I both have, or I don't know if you still have, but have this deck of tarot, this tarot deck called Herbal Tarot. And I was like, Lex, I have this tarot deck because it was my mom's in college. And I found it in my garage. And my mom was like, oh, yeah, that was mine. But yeah, you can have it. And I like told that to Lex. And Lex was like, I have the same deck. And it was my mom's in college. Am I making that up? Or is that real?
No, that is 100% correct and real.
Okay, good. I was just looking at your face on the Zoom call. And I was like, oh, God, am I like completely hallucinating that happened?
Okay. No, that's real.
Yes, okay, so that happened.
That did happen. Yes, that is absolutely wild. And it's really funny that you just brought up tarot, which, I mean, actually isn't out of pocket for either of us. But I did a spontaneous tarot reading for this podcast episode at the beginning. Whoa.
I didn't even Fuck. And I listened to that, to your intro that you sent me this morning. And then I was like, oh my God, yes. Temperance, perfect. I'm gonna tie it in so much. And then I just totally forgot.
Did you forget? Cause
did
I'm gonna just wrap around for our readers real fast. Temperance, fire, Sagittarius, Jupiter, internal harmony, expanding beyond boxes and binaries, fluidity, interweaving, mixing of opposites, non-linear healing. Pretty sure we covered all of that, Fig, so you're right on point.
That's what I was like freaking out when I listened to it and you pulled it, because I was thinking about all these questions and I was like yeah, TJ, all about like fucking binaries generally, but also specifically binaries around harm.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea that like some people cause harm and stuff, like we all fucking cause harm on varying degrees, and it's not about if you're gonna cause harm, what do we do if people cause harm. It's like, you're gonna cause harm, what are you gonna do about it? Like, what are you gonna do to prepare to be ready to apologize, be ready to reach out for support when you need to know, like, what do I fucking do? Like, I've just harmed someone. So yes, anyways, love it. Temperance. Love it. Love you.
Hey Fig,
love
where
it, love
can
you.
Where can folks find you or contact you? I know we mentioned Blood Honey.
Yeah,
do you want to run through that one more time? And then also any personal info that you want to make sure that folks leave with.
Oh yeah. So yeah, so to find me around my music, Blood Honey Music on Instagram. That's BLOODHUNNY Music. Bloodhoney.bandcamp.com. And then yeah, my personal Instagram, which I'm fine with folks connecting with me there if you want, is feelingisgood.fig. As my name is an acronym for feeling is good. Feeling is good. Fig. And one thing about the Instagram is like I periodically will not go on it for like days or weeks at a time because I have problems using it in a good way. So you can totally message me there. They just might not see it right away. But I will eventually, probably. And yeah, and then there is a feelingisgood.fig@gmail.com. Also, don't check that super regularly, but if email is your preferred mode, you can totally send me an email there. Yeah. But I
so
think
basically it's a gamble.
Those are good modes. Honestly, just hit that send button and hope for the best. I'm like, there's no reliable way to contact me. We'll see. Will you ever get in touch with me? I don't know. I will say probably if like you emailed, like, I don't know how often Lex is checking the Care Spells Gmail, but probably if you hit up Lex or, you know, the Care Spells contact and you need me for some reason, they can probably get us in contact as well.
I will take on that.
Please meet. Can you please be my publicist?
I'll do it. Groupie
I'm
getting, to publicist.
I'm just gonna get so many. I'm gonna get so many inquiries after this episode. Just general inquiries. About nothing in particular.
Hi,
I have an inquiry
about, do you like music?
Is there a way that I can talk to you?
Can we talk?
May we read books together?
Together?
May we
forever
eat pie and eating cake together
together
forever
together. Well, Fig, this has been a pleasure.
Oh, also, I'm gonna just like not let you ever close it out. No, also, you posted the thing to my blog where the writing is, which is feelingisgoodfig.wordpress.com. So this is,
yeah, and all of this is in the episode summary as well.
Love it.
All right.
Well, Lex.
Without further ado, here is Invisible Love by Blood Honey, a.k.a. Feeling is Good Fig.
below.